like to draw your attention to Acts chapter 15. And let's pick up the story at verse 7, and I'll read all the way down to verse 11 of Acts chapter 15. And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So Peter now is proclaiming to the church council. And God which knoweth the hearts, and bears them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, that would be the Jews and the Gentiles, purifying their heart by faith, and underline the word, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, or wherefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our father nor we were able to bear? So Peter's failure definitely came out right here. Why are we seeking to destroy the Gentiles? I couldn't even live it. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful things that you can teach us through this passage. Open our eyes to that experience of faith that we need desperately within our life in these last days. And we will thank you and we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible declares that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That God is looking for you to have tremendous faith in him, reliance or a confidence in God, that you would believe that God is able to do the impossible. With man, all things are impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible whatsoever. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, in order for your faith to develop, to grow strong, you and I need to be in the Word of God, because the Word is able to build you up in the most holy faith and staying in that very faithful place with the Lord. Peter, now ministering to the church council, a problem had arose that they were seeking to make the young Gentile men become circumcised. And the council of the church, Peter and James and John, thought that there was no need for this. It was the Pharisees, the Judaizers, and so they brought their case before the church, and we read, as we will tonight, that Peter was able to minister. When Peter was done, Barnabas spoke. When Barnabas was done, Paul spoke. When Paul was done, James stood up. He gave the testimony and said, we ought not to put a burden upon them, except that they would stay away from immorality and they would stay away from meat offered to idols. So one of the rules of the early church was immorality. The next three they laid out was to be sensitive one to another. We'll look at that later on tonight. But Peter, in the middle of his little sermon, says that they were purified by faith. That the Gentiles came to know Christ through the gift of faith, and it was through the faith in God that he purified and cleansed the heart. Now, in the New Testament, we will find over and over again the importance of a life of faith. Let me just read to you a couple things, and you might want to jot them down. In Romans in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul mentions that we are justified by faith. The word justification or justified means as though I've never done it, just as if I've never done it. Then we read in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And so I am not only to be justified by faith, but secondly, I am to live for God in faith. Then I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith do you stand. Paul now declares that we are to stand in faith, and as I stand in the promises of God, I find that's exactly what God wants me to do. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we are to walk by faith, not by sight. Then in Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. And one last one, in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So when I look at this area of the life of faith, Paul is declaring that it is able to purify the heart, that I need to learn to stand in faith, to be justified by faith, to walk by faith, to live in faith, and to have Christ formed in my heart by faith. So that is what I'd like to take a look at this morning in the remaining time that we have. I'd like to share four simple things that the Lord kind of laid upon my heart. Number one, very simply, that my faith must reckon. That my faith must reckon, and we find that in Romans chapter 6, verse 11. The second thing that I like to share with you is that my faith must respond. My faith must respond. And we also find that in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. The third thing is my faith must receive. My faith must receive. And I find that in Galatians 3:14. And lastly, I find that my faith must rest. My faith must rest. And I find that in John chapter 15, verse 4. So turn with me, if you would, to Romans, to chapter 6, verse 11. And as you're looking at that, let me remind you that it was Habakkuk that said that the just shall live by faith. And it was Paul that picked up that very same thought in the book of Hebrews, the book of Romans, and the book of Galatians, the just shall live by faith. And so this morning, let's take a look at really building that life of faith. And I, more than ever before this morning, want to kind of challenge you to understand that without faith, it's impossible to please God. I'm not speaking about feelings or how I feel or why I don't feel close to the Lord or I feel far from God. I'm talking to you today about, do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Do you believe that you've asked Christ into your heart? Do you believe that God is coming back? In other words, are you willing to put your life and your heart exactly where your mind is? Yes, Jesus, I believe. Well, then the feelings will come, but God is looking for a life of faith. Feelings will never be consistent. Sometimes we look to feelings hoping that they will bring the joy, but it is the faith in God. And if you're being persecuted, it is faith in God. If you're going through a broken relationship, it is faith in God. If you're going through a difficult marriage, it is faith in God. If your body's going through it, it is faith in God. If you look to the feelings or to the emotions, it's going to lie to you, and your heart's going to be deceived, and you're going to begin to question God. So the foundation of your life is the Word. And so this morning, number one, my faith must reckon. Notice in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, likewise reckon, underline that word, ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the metaphor is placed here very simply in the word reckon. The word reckon is an old, old word. It's a math word, and CPAs use it all the time. It means to have two columns. It means to have assets and liabilities. It means to be able to look at a piece of paper, put down your thoughts, and be able to make a decision. It is articulating, it is looking at the issue very serious within your life. Now listen to the way that Paul writes, likewise reckon, make an account, make some columns, also yourself to be dead. So on one side, put down you are dead in Christ. On the other side, put down you're alive. On one side, dead in sin. On the other side, alive unto God. Now this is so important in your life, because God is looking not only for your heart, but your mind to be convinced that the decision you made to serve God was a great decision. And when you look at everything there is, you understand that on this side there is sin, but on this side there is God. Moses was able to do this. He said he looked at the things of the cross, and then he looked at the things the world had to offer. And he made a decision that he would follow the reproach of Christ, which was far better than to enjoy sin for a season. So what God is saying to me today, what Paul was seeking to convey to the church, what I am trying to share with you today is that you need to understand that faith is very logical. That it looks at a situation and says, I don't want to go down that road. That road will lead me to AIDS. That road will lead me to a divorce. That road will lead me to financial bankruptcy. That road will lead me to jail. This road will lead me to the kingdom of God. This road will lead me to a life of blessing. So it's important within your life to be able to jot down in your mind, in your heart, that the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you head towards the darkness, it's like Judas. If you head towards the light, it's like Jesus Christ. If I'm willing to forgive, I'm like Christ. If I'm unwilling to forgive, then I'm like Lucifer. And when these are very crystal clear in my mind, where the Word of God has divinely divided, that there is carnality and there is Christianity, there is compromise and there is commitment, there is hell, there is heaven, there is God, there is Satan, and I have chosen in my heart, without my wife, without my family, without my children, being single doesn't make a difference. I have evaluated and I have chosen to side on the side of God. Now, when I do that and I reckon, then I set in motion everything in my life. Because a decision turns into an action. And an action turns into a habit. And a habit turns into a character, and a character turns into a destiny. So I must understand that it's not just how I feel, it's a decision that I know that though I want to go out and sin, I cannot. And the reason why is because I have separated the two, and this is the consequences, and I will not violate, and I will therefore live by faith rather than living by my feelings. Kind of like the same thing I've shared with you before. You know that in your heart you should not eat a pizza before you go to bed. But you made it through a whole Bible study without falling asleep, so you want to celebrate. And so on the way home, you swing by and buy a 18-piece pizza, and you hear God saying, don't do this. It's not good for your body. It's not good for your health. It's going to put you out for the rest of your life. You're going to have a stroke in the middle of the night. Don't do this. And you're thinking, well, you know, I really want to bless myself because I made it through one Bible study without falling asleep. I want to bless myself. And so there you go. Now, everything in you know that you shouldn't do it. And when you get done eating it, what do you think about? How much do I weigh? How fat am I? I'm going to die of a heart attack. I got grease coming out of my ears. This is terrible. Well, now, your feeling said you need this pizza. Satan threw it right in your face. Faith would say, I don't need that pizza. I have an apple. Now, who wants to eat an apple when you got a pizza? Now, if you put cheese over it and heat it up, maybe the apple might be good. A couple pepperonis on top of that apple, I can buy that. An apple pizza, mozzarella, cooked in oil. You know, that's a wonderful thing, you think. But when it comes down to which is going to satisfy you? The apple. Which is going to do you better? The apple. Which is going to heal your body? If you eat the seeds, it'll kill the cancer. Apple. Well, then why do I want the pizza? Because I feel like having pizza. So it's the same thing with sin. I feel like sinning, but faith tells me no. So the first responsibility in our lives is to reckon, to be able to understand the two columns, to understand that I've made a decision to go this one. The second thing I find, not only am I to reckon my faith, or my faith must reckon, but secondly, my faith must respond. Notice in verse 13 of the same chapter, Romans 6, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Now underline the word yield. Neither yield ye your members, your hands, your feet, your eyes, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now it's one thing to be able to reckon. Yes, God, I can reckon, I see, I understand the two different charts. The second thing that God is asking you and I to do today is that we would respond. And what I mean is that you would yield your life to the list that you've chosen. That you would surrender yourself over to that list. That you would consecrate your life to God. That you would yield every facet of your being. That your eyes and your ears and your hands would be used in the kingdom of God. There was a time when they would anoint the high priest in the Old Testament. That they would take his ear, his right ear, and they would anoint it with blood. Then they would anoint that right thumb. And then they would anoint that right toe. And the reason behind it is that he would hear from God. And that he would move with his hands in the ways of God. And his feet would always be in the path of God. And so God is asking that you would surrender, that you would yield your life to that which you know you ought to do. And this is the decision where all of a sudden you are being tempted. And you look and you're saying to yourself, I will reckon the old man dead. I choose to live this way for Jesus Christ. Well, that isn't enough. Now you need to yield your life and surrender your life and commit your life to the one that can give it to you. And so it means that I'm going to take on none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to respond, that I'm willing to submit. I'm willing to yield my life to. But the third area of the life of faith, I find in the book of Galatians in chapter 3, verse 14. My faith must receive. My faith must receive. That the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that ye might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So it's one thing to reckon, it's another thing to respond, but the third, I think, is even more important, that I need to receive all that God has. Now, in your life and in my life, I'm willing to look at God and say, there is heaven and there is hell. I have reckoned to go the way of heaven. Then the Holy Spirit would bring me to the second. Well, Stephen, are you willing to respond to heaven? Well, Lord, what does that mean? It means that you're willing to go my way, do my will, surrender your heart, commit your life, and go down this road with both hands on the plow. Well, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do that. And so I get involved doing that, and things begin to fall apart. The enemy begins to lie. I begin to get tempted. And I need to understand the third area of faith is I need to receive. I need to receive from God. Lord, I'm going through it. God, I don't feel good. God, I'm going through a difficult time in my life. God, I need your help. And I need to come to God. And I need to God to touch me and to minister to my heart. I need to humble myself and receive from the goodness of God. And we live in a society, in a world, that we're too prideful. We won't take out a handout. We won't ask some brother to pray with us. We won't let someone know how insecure we are. We won't let somebody understand that we're about ready to walk away from God. And we hear the voice, don't tell anyone because they're going to think that you're not spiritual. And Satan has destroyed more brothers and sisters because we've listened to the enemy rather than ministering one to another. And the Bible says they that are strong are the bearer, those who are weak, and we need to minister one to another. So I need to receive from you, and you need to receive from me, and we all need to receive from God, and sometimes we don't. And along our way, God brings things into our lives that forces us back to God, that causes us to beseech God, that brings us to a point of begging, pleading, God, please, if you don't come through here, I'm dead. God, if you don't do what you need to do, I'm history. Almost like when we first came to know Christ. Well, Stephen, it was a gift. Are you willing to receive? Oh, refresh my heart. Rejuvenate my life. God, turn me around. I receive from you. And some of us need to receive his love. Some of us need to receive that forgiveness and receive that healing and receive the things that God wants to do, but we don't. Because we're just kind of going through this life and we see sin and we see God and we kind of mingle the two together. And Paul said, no, you need to reckon. In your mind, in your heart, you need to articulate there are two areas, two worlds, two kingdoms, two masters, and you cannot serve both of them. You got to make a choice. No man can serve both masters because you're not going to be good at either one of them. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. You got to make a decision. You got to be purposed. Like a businessman who's an entrepreneur. He wants to go down this road and be successful. He doesn't start two businesses. He does one. He masters it. And then he lets that one explode. The same way with Christianity. You can't serve two and be good at either one. You got to make a decision. So when I reckon this is what I want to do with my life. And not only that, but I want to respond on this side of the column. I don't want to give my body to Satan. Don't want to give my eyes to Satan. Don't want to give my hands to Satan. Don't want to give my feet to Satan. I want to give my life to God. And not only that, I don't want to receive from the things of this world. I need to receive from you. I need you to touch my life and you to refresh my heart and you to build up my faith. And God, I need you. I need to receive from you. And lastly, not only do I need to reckon and I need to respond, I need to receive. But lastly, I like this the best. I need to rest. I simply need to rest. And so we read in John chapter 15, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. And what can I say, but this is one of the greatest areas of our lives. Well, Stephen, I have faith. Well, are you resting? No, I'm nervous and freaking out. Well, maybe your faith needs to be strengthened. Well, what happens when I reckon? When I look at sin and I say, I don't want to do that. I want to go God's way. And I respond to the love of God and I receive the goodness of God. What do I do then? And this is the key. You need to rest. And you see, faith is able to rest in the promises of God. I've shared this with you, but I think it's so important for you to understand. There was a time in Moses' life that he came to reckon that God was faithful. It was there at the bush, burning, you remember? And then he responded to the call of God upon his life that he would lead the children of Israel through the wilderness for those 40 years. And he received the manna, and he received everything that he needed. But there was a time that his heart was overwhelmed, and he was not resting. And there at the Red Sea, God said to him, "Stand still. Stand still, Moses, and see the salvation of God." And God is asking you and I to stand still. You see, as long as you're moving, running, you're not trusting. As long as you are trying to do it yourself, you're not committing. You're not believing. If God is doing what he said he's going to do, then rest. Give God an opportunity to do it. So stand still. Just stand and see the salvation of God. He said the same thing to David. David was there reckoning on God's faithfulness. He was responding to the call of God to take out Goliath. He was willing to receive the things that Saul gave him. But David was going through a difficult time and his faith was up and down. And God said to David, "Be still and know that I am God." So to Moses, "Stand still and see my salvation. You stand, I'll work. You set and you think." And lastly, Naomi said to Ruth, "Go and leave me." And she said, "No, I have reckoned that going back with the Moab people would not be where it's at. I will follow you. And I have taken that responsibility. And where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Where you lie, I'll lie. And I want to receive from all Jehovah has." And so Naomi said to Ruth, "Then set still till he has done his work." I like that. Set still and let God work. And so I close this morning. Are you standing? Are you quiet? And are you sitting? Is there peace in your heart, knowing that God knows what you're going through? Are you willing to reckon? Are you willing to respond? Are you willing to receive? And most of all, are you willing to rest? What a wonderful Father we have. Father, we ask this morning that you would lead us and guide us in all the different things that we are doing in and through our lives. And there are so many things that, Father, are on the wrong side of the page. That, God, we have not reckoned. Lord, we are living our life carelessly. And, Lord, you said the just shall live by faith. And if I'm going to live by faith, then I need to know what type of a life I'm going to live. Well, Lord, you declared to Abraham that against all hope he was to hope. That he was not to consider his own body. He was not to look at his own resources. That, Lord, he was not to stagger at the promises of God. But he was to be fully persuaded that you were able to do that which you promised. And so this morning, against all the hope, God, we hope. Because even in impossible things, you can work. Lord, when we look at our resources, we laugh. Lord, when we look at your resources, Lord, we are blessed. Father, when we are double-minded in your word, we become unstable. But when your word fills our hearts, we become filled with knowledge of your word. And we are fully persuaded that that which you have committed, that, Lord, you're able to keep it until that day. And so we live by faith, not by sight. We live for your glory by the things that you have given. We reckon our lives unto you. Lord, we respond today to the call upon our life. We receive from your hand your goodness. And Father, we will rest in your love. And we will thank you. Father, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe there are some of you that just need to be loved. Maybe some have walked away. Or maybe some of you have never come to know Jesus Christ. I'd like to give you that opportunity. If you like to ask Christ to come into your heart, or if you like to rededicate your life, would you simply raise your hand high that I might pray for you? God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. God bless you. But don't be embarrassed. This is not a decision of feelings. This is a decision of your mind. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand?